Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here for another day, midweek, Wednesday, July the 8th, 2026, 7/8/26. 12 coming up on 13 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio this morning, and very glad to be, by Bob Welsh from Columbus, Ohio. And this now is just about a month incoming. Our anniversary party was on Thursday night, June the 11th. It is now July the 18th, and Bob, every year, now this has been a tradition. This started, it's been at least 4 or 5 years ago, but you decided, and this was all you, I did not have a hand in this, that during the anniversary party, you were going to bring a pizza crust, and everybody at the anniversary party would sign the pizza crust, and you would take that back home to Columbus. You would shellac that, and then you would bring it here, and we'd hang it on the wall for a year, and then we would do the same every anniversary period, and you would switch them out once a year.
Good morning.
Yes.
It's July 8th, not 18th. For anybody out there.
Did I say 18th?
Anybody out there who's confused like me.
No, didn't I say July 8th?
18th.
Well, I think of the three times I've said the date, I think once I got it right.
All right. But, yes, good morning. Everything you said, I believe, was correct.
Except the date. Except the date. Okay.
And I think it kind of started, you know, because we had done the upper crust society and everything. And I thought, well, this is a way of getting everybody onto the pizza crust. And so we had everybody at the first, year number 9, was it, maybe?
It was before 10, I know that.
Maybe number 9.
It's been up there a while.
Number 9.
Yeah, because we were here for year 10.
Yeah.
And it was done before that.
Yeah, all right, there you go. Yeah. And so we've been doing it every year since then. And this year has been the first year that difficulties arose, but we won't get to that right now.
Well, no, I wanted to get right to that.
Oh, you did?
Because this year, for the first time, I heard that there were difficulties involving this.
Yes. Well, you know, in the past, we've done, you know, the star for the tree and everything like that. It got kind of eaten up by the critters.
Now you want to bring up that trouble. That only happened one time many, many, many years ago now. Yeah.
But in the same vein, I was shellacking the number 12 pizza crust. And, you know, you follow the directions on the package and everything. You know, do this in a well-ventilated place, possibly outdoors and everything. So I'd set up a place in the yard there with a drying rack and everything. I sent you a picture of it, and I actually coated the front, you know, so it was already half shellac. I was working on the back, and you know, I put a coat of shellac on the back and everything, and I go inside to let it dry, and that's, you know, as required. And I look out the window, and there's a squirrel sitting on the back of the pizza there, happily munching away.
Well, that's terrible. And this worried me because of all years, year number 12, I would say, was probably the most celebrity-driven of all the anniversaries that we have done in the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, you had Mary Ellen Withrow and Larry Barnett. And Mayor Kellogg. Yeah. And a lot of great performers that night, yeah. Aaron Brewer and Gabriel Ross Vanis and Chad Clark. And I think everybody here from the station was here, and also also people from the past, like Glenn Coble was back. So Fran Vall, I believe that was his first anniversary party. So really a star-studded pizza crust, and it would be odd that this would be the one that the squirrels would decide to eat up.
Well, apparently it was the most popular one. You know, squirrels.
Well, it certainly was.
Squirrels in Columbus there have class. They said, we're only going to eat the best.
Well, so I'm interested to see it because I'd like to see what the damage actually was to it.
And the good news is none of the signatures were compromised.
Oh, okay. Well, then I feel better.
But you know, the edges are a little rough. And
well, that's fine.
You know, and at the top of it, I had the big number 12 there for 12, and a bit of the 2 got eaten into.
Now, were you able to repair the 2?
No.
No, 2 is gone.
No, it was gone. I was able to repair some of the cracks that had developed in it, but the 2 is still there. But
oh, here it is.
Ta-da.
And you can see, now that looks
it's a little rough along the top here and the side.
Well, it looks like somebody was nibbling on the top, but yeah, I can see that.
You can see, but you know, from the back there, where it's no longer round.
Well, I've never got a chance to look at this. Let me see it here. So we've got, Well, I don't even know that you could really tell. It just looks like somebody prepared this poorly around the edges. Is now that's all.
If your pizza arrives in this fashion, then you need to send it back.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's my signature, and there's Linda Sims, and we got 2026, Matt Morgan, Terry Tackett, Gabriel, Mary Ellen Withrow along the bottom there, Aaron Brewer over there, Sean Kraft, Larry Barnett right across the WGH, Dick Schwatterer, I forgot he was here. Chad Clark, you're up there. Bob Walsh. Is there somebody who did not sign this? Is this everybody? I don't see Glenn Coble on here.
He must have left without something.
I don't see Kent Halloran on here. No, there's Jack Kellogg.
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe the red pen was a...
That was a mistake.
That was a mistake. I can see that now because Jack and Aaron signed in red, and it looked like that. It looks like that bled a little.
Yeah, so the red will never be coming back. No more red pizzas.
No more red pizza signing. Wonder why the red doesn't work as well.
I don't know.
Wonder why it bleeds like that. These are all Sharpies, right?
All the same company with actually the same package, brand new package that I bought special for the occasion. You know.
Now, what's with the Mr. Rogers stamp?
Well, that was a big discussion back in June, and
it certainly was. It was reissued.
And so that was the reissue, and it kind of filled in a little gap there. Then I had a couple little baseball pieces there, you know, for Larry. The groundhog made it up there. See, that's the groundhog.
Another baseball for Larry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play ball, a couple balls around there. So I did not get a guitar pick from Chad Clark this year, because I usually incorporate that. You know, but little knickknacks here and there just to kind of remind you of the times.
Well, I feel bad that there were people there who did not get a chance to sign.
They'll have to come back next year.
Glenn Coble and Kent Halloran.
Yeah, well,
I hope that's it, that did not get a chance to sign.
We'll get them to sign on the back or something.
Well, no, I like it. And we're going to hang it in a new place this year. Because it was hung before in an area that now we use to store our Christmas and Halloween decorations.
Literally from the floor to the ceiling.
Well, not really. I mean, there's a desk halfway up.
And but the stuff underneath the desk, so you can't... You still
well, that's our remote equipment. That's not decoration. That's not decoration.
Well, it's still storage.
If we just stacked the totes over there, they wouldn't go nearly as high. We could still see the pizza over there. If there wasn't a desk involved.
That's right.
All right, well, this is great, Bob. That's momentous, because there's a lot of stuff going on here. You've got a lot of people, you know, Jack Kellogg turned 90 that week, mm-hmm. and Mary Ellen is Mary Ellen's age, and Larry Barnett obviously going through some health issues right now. So this is a very, this could be historic in the crust area.
True. It might be one worthy for the Pizza Hall of Fame or something.
You know, I still really don't understand what happened with that Pizza Hall of Fame. Yeah. Why there's such a kerfluffle there with getting these pizza crusts in.
I'll have to contact them again. Maybe they just like Ohio product.
Do you think they misunderstood? Here's what I think happened.
I think I sent him a picture even.
No. Did you not? Because sometimes you have to explain to these people exactly what it is. That like Mary Ellen Withrow, did you say Guinness Book of World Records signature, signed over $1.1 trillion? Larry Barnett, youngest umpire in the history of Major League Baseball. Those facts really kind of get people.
Well, at the time that I was discussing it with them, it was only Mary Ellen's pizza that we were discussing. But I did bring up the fact that she was, the woman treasurer, the 40th treasurer, and, you know, the Guinness Book of World Fame, like, all of that stuff, you know.
Well, what do they got in that pizza museum that's going to rival that?
Nothing.
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 So that just seems, I kind of feel like maybe they're not living up to their standards.
Well, you know, I think we need to just go ahead and open up a wing at the Historical Society here in Marion, you know, famous pizza through history or something.
It might have to be. It might have to be. Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you bring up animals that have gnawed on this, because this morning I had an incident as I was driving in here. As I was getting close, there's a lot of road construction going on Route 95.
Yes.
And as I was getting close to McDonald's this morning, right before McDonald's, between the colleges and McDonald's on 95, I noticed that traffic was really backed up. And I thought, well, what would cause traffic to back up in that particular area this morning? There's no car accident. I didn't see any emergency vehicles. What is causing the traffic to back up? A line of geese was crossing the road right there on 95. And this goes to something. Well, first of all, there's no water right there that I can think of except at the college. And that's not even directly in front of the McDonald's. And number two, there hasn't been rain in a few days. And number three, animals like that used to be fearful of highly traveled areas. 95 is the most traveled area in Marion. Why on daylight at 7:30 in the morning would they choose that area to cross? I mean, I'm starting to see why a lot of these things get hit.
Well, and you mentioned that you left out number four. Geese can fly. Why don't they fly over the damn road?
Well, I don't know. I cannot figure this out, but I've said it recently. I can see rabbits up close in my neighborhood because they do not run away anymore. I can see squirrels because they do not run away anymore when people come up to them. What is that about wild animals now that they are not afraid of people like they used to be?
I have no idea.
It's weird.
You know, maybe they're getting domesticated. You know, back in caveman times, you know, we domesticated the dog. We brought him into the campfire and everything. And then the cat came along soon afterwards. And, you know, ancient Egyptian times, the cat was very revered. And so now maybe these other animals just finally joining, you know, the party and saying, all right, let's go get cozy up to the humans because they're taking over anyway.
Well, I think it's a problem because now all of a sudden you do see where people have hit geese. And it's horrible because a goose is a big animal. And to see that in the middle of the road is not very pretty. But I think it's because of incidents like these. You probably don't see them until they're right up on you.
No, I mean, who's going to be looking out for the geese? You know, come on.
Yeah, so I think it's a problem.
Yeah.
All right, well, we're getting a phone call here.
Oh, my goodness.
That's good to kick off the morning. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, I think they hang out there because people feed them. There's a lot of people around there, and they get fed, so they're hanging, you know, animals are hanging around there.
Well, it could be, but usually, you know, during the heat of summer, July, they want to be close to a body of water. And they're really...
Shit Creek there.
Well, is that good for them?
The Seven Brew there.
Well, but they're on the opposite side.
And sometimes that, when you're out there, can smell, oh my gosh.
Well, yes, there is a smell there. Yes.
The side where the Seven Brew and all that too. I see them. I used to go to Long John Silver's a lot and would see them down there.
I don't know. I just think it's a bad place to be crossing the road, and I would think geese at 7:30 in the morning, broad daylight, would realize there are a lot of cars on that road. Why would they try to cross there?
Well, I don't know about that. I can't give them some mind of a geese, but a goose or whatever.
I don't know. I
think they get fed around there a lot, too.
Well, I'm telling you, I have noticed this year more than any other year, rabbits will stay close to you almost until you get right up on them. Squirrels, the same thing. Birds, even.
Well, when they see people a lot, they get to where they're not scared of them as much.
Well, yeah, but haven't they always seen people? Were people more vicious in previous eras?
Let's say you're out in the woods, you know, hunting for rabbits or squirrels or something. They're not going to get close to you. I got a squirrel that every morning walks around on my ramp out there that the white man's built for me. You know, if I would take my ramp out, you know, out in the middle of the woods and set it there and put a little lawn chair up there and sat on it, you think those squirrels out there is going to be wanting to crawl on that lamp?
It depends on whether you have your 22 with you or not.
Yeah.
Well, if I had some food, maybe. Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's a weird thing. But I wish, you know, city council, I don't live in the city, so I guess it might be more of a county commissioner thing. But I wish the county would outlaw people walking their dogs without leashes.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's a law. They just don't enforce it.
Nobody enforces
you're
it.
To pick up after the dog, too, if it takes a crap.
Well, I'm not so concerned with that. A lot of people do that. But if you have your dog out and somebody's trying to walk through the neighborhood, which I do every night, and your dog is on no leash at all, and that dog has never seen you, that can be a problem.
So you're saying the doggy decorum rules.
A dog will take two, and some people, you know, they don't take two.
I don't know. I just think it's a bad idea that happens, and for some reason, there's really no change. Did you listen to the show yesterday? I was getting a lot of heat on my Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift comments.
Yeah.
So what do you think? I think I'm not wrong here.
You think they shouldn't have had it at the Garden? I think that's a great place
for
it.
Listen, you can have it at the Garden. You can do all that, but you can't invite 1,000 people. You can't have a celebrity guest list. You can't have Adam Sandler marry you. You can't have Paul McCartney perform at your wedding and then say it's not a celebrity wedding, it's a private affair. That's a show. I'm sorry, that's a show. Anybody would pay to see that show. You had it at the Garden. You could have sold tickets.
Well, you don't think she knows that many people and her friends with that many people? It's just like me. I mean, you have a lot more friends than I do. You're very social and get around.
Don't start cutting the friends yet.
For the last few years, pretty much homebound. So you're naturally going to have a lot more friends than me.
Right, but if you don't want your wedding to be a spectacle, you don't have it at Madison Square Garden. You don't have Adam Sandler marry you. You don't have Paul McCartney perform. You don't invite 1,000 people. You
but
don't...
No, well, no paparazzi got to view it, you know. In that case, it wasn't a spectacle, you know. It was a get-together of a lot of friends, and, you know, you... Of course, if you talk about who went there, you know, it might amaze you, but...
And I think you're missing the real hidden point of the whole thing as well, is that, you know, Taylor Swift, she's no dummy, you know, and she plans her events and her media events, and this was a media event.
That's all I'm saying.
And for one reason, you know, at that time of the year, I think she was taking all the air out of the room so that our dear president had less time on the airwaves.
Well, he didn't like that. By the way, out there listening this morning, Trish says there is water beside Walmart in front of the juvenile detention center. I guess that's true. But I don't think that's where they were headed. It looked like they were headed more toward the McDonald's area. And Mary out there this morning sent us a picture. She said, this is mine. Her name is Tulip. And let me see what kind of animal this is. I wonder if this is a squirrel or a rabbit. Let's see what's going on here. Oh, that's a squirrel. Squirrel. So she's got a squirrel laying right on her table outside.
See if you can get Bob's mic to...
Well, Bob's just talking slightly this morning.
Oh,
he's whispering like this into the microphone this morning.
If I get him mad, he'll really start talking.
I don't need to overrule anybody or anything.
They just like to hear you, Bob. They like to hear you out there.
No, they don't.
They do. But you see what I'm saying?
But here...
And
I know Lee can't see this, but he might be interested. But, you know, speaking of wildlife getting cozy, you know, I live in a suburban neighborhood, houses all around me, you know, it is, you know, suburbanite's dream, you know, but here's what I see one day, you know, in my driveway, running around, and you can't see this, but it's the red fox just running around.
A red fox in the neighborhood.
Yeah, I first saw it sitting out there on the driveway, that's an unusual dog, but it's not a dog, you know, there you go.
They're hard to see in the wild.
Yeah, but he's sitting on my driveway there, and then I went out to take a picture of him, and he starts running around, and... You know, who would expect to see a fox in the middle of the neighborhood?
wild animals are coming because there's food. Bears are beginning to be a problem in some areas.
Well, I'm trying not to attract
bears. I mean, not
real,
not here.
Yeah, you never
but
know.
But there are bears in Ohio.
Yes,
did
there
you
are.
Know that?
And they're not too many, you know, they're not too many counties away, so it could very well, we could have a bear on the neighborhood before you know it.
Yeah, the ONDR or whatever it is, they put collars on them to help, you know.
Well, that's for the tourists, because Yogi Bear always had a collar as well.
Yeah. But, you know, to help track, and there's not that many of them here, but. You know, you go out west and, you know, a lot of coyotes, wolves, you know, geese, they can, you know, geese, they're not afraid of you. They'll attack you just for the heck of it.
Well, and I would like to report, Trish is also asking if anybody's found the enlarged $100 bill that we sent up on the July 4th with Mary Ellen Withrow. Haven't heard anything yet, but... who knows?
It's going to be about like that dog collar.
No, I didn't catch the whole
thing. Well, I didn't send up the dog collar.
Was it a spendable $100 bill? Or
oh, no, it was enlarged.
Enlarged,
because,
all right.
Because the theory was, how could you not see an enlarged $100 bill? This
so
was
it's not really currency?
No, not really currency, no.
Oh, you cheap ass.
Hey!
You couldn't have sent up $100 bills. Everybody would be looking for it then.
Well, no, listen, you get something if you turn it in.
Now,
what?
There was an app, I think it's called Where's George, where...
Gift certificate to Stewart's Root Beer?
Yeah.
I don't know yet. We'll see what
on
the prize
website,
is.
I see where you own a little, what is it, a...
You know, that's been on there for years and years and years. I don't know why it's on there. I don't even know what that place is. I don't think it's operational. I don't own it.
Well, who put that on there, then?
I don't know.
Somebody hacked into your account?
Well, I don't know that they hacked in.
I didn't know anybody could put something on anybody else's Facebook page.
Oh, yeah. Well, they can tag you, and I think you... It has been on there so long, there were different rules for Facebook back then when that happened. Did you see the video of Mary Ellen?
I was talking about it not too long ago.
No, I was what?
Talking about starting something. I thought
yeah.
He was talking more of a coffee place. Or
well,
something.
It could be. Well, I'm not done with that. I've just been very busy the last year.
Yeah, give you time. Matt there will help you now.
That's right. Somebody will be around.
Oh, Adam sent me a friend's request yesterday, too, so I got Adam on there.
Oh, good. Well, I'm glad it's all coming together.
I got Matt on there, too.
Matt's on there? All right. Well, you'll get all
I sent one to Glenn Coble, but he hasn't done it yet.
Have you, did you notice the video of Mary Ellen sending up the bill?
No.
Well, you'll have to watch the video to see the enlarged bill.
Yeah, I'll look for that.
Yep, we'll take a look. Well, hey, thanks for being out there.
Yep.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
All right, and I should mention the phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's
740-383-9944. Wow.
Yeah.
Good way to start the day. I mean, I think the animals are getting more used to us and being here, and they're moving in bit by bit, and they're going to take back over.
I don't know. Could be.
You know, I've seen a lot of these movies.
We just need to get the dogs under control.
Well, you know, I started out there. You could start a new doggy decorum rules and everything.
I'm for that.
You could need to clean up after your own pet, make sure they don't bark after midnight and things like that.
You know what's annoying me? Yeah. Before
what's annoying you?
Well, I'm about to tell you. Before the fair.
People interrupting you, is that annoying you?
No. I don't mind interruptions. Before the fair, I had a paper around here that listed all the 250th anniversary Marian events coming up, I think,
right.
Not this weekend, but the following weekend.
Yeah.
And I have looked and looked and looked for that since I came back from the fair. And I cannot find that anywhere. Now, that means somebody had to abscond with that paper. Now, why would you take that paper? What is the purpose?
Well, I think you know, for the first time in like 3 or 4 years that I've been coming by here, I actually see that the garbage can is empty. And so maybe somebody...
Every Wednesday night, we take out the garbage.
They pick up the paper.
See, that was a... That's not accurate news, Bob. You're reporting false news.
I think somebody might have saw this as, oh, you know, these events are already happened, and they picked it up and took it out with the trash.
They can't read dates?
Apparently not.
Well, it's gone, and, you know, why would somebody pick that up and, take this from my own personal information. Yeah. But this is a radio station. You don't take papers like that. We use them to read on the air.
Oh, dear. What are we going to do? Well,
that's my pet peeve this morning. Can you get a replacement? Well, I don't know. It's a whole pet peeve now. All I know, there's a thing on the Third Thursdays, Red, White, and Blue, downtown Third Thursdays, and Etta was homecoming and a picnic thing at the Harding, museum, something like that. And there's a women's club, ice cream social, so all these things.
Picnic with Warren. That would be nice.
Well, were you surprised that the 250th did not have the gusto that a lot of people thought it would have?
No, I'm not surprised. I think we had the wrong people in charge of running it. Were they... paid more attention to reflecting pools than actually celebrating the people. That's my 2 cents.
Well, the bicentennial seemed to get a lot of attention, but this did not.
Yeah.
Even at the fair, nobody really talked about it.
Well, it was too hot to talk.
Yeah, but the whole fireworks celebration on the 4th of July, the actual day of independence, there was nothing. And also that day, somebody said, hey, you know that event you did with Mary Ellen launching the bill? That's the only event going on in Marion on the actual day of the 250th anniversary of the country. So I'm not sure how this got all backed up.
And I'm assuming the bill had some information in there about how to report its finding.
Yes,
and
it
where
did.
To report
yes,
its
it did.
Finding. And,
on the back.
And maybe a promise of a reward or something.
Yes.
You know, and so that when they find it, they will contact you. And
that's true.
And you said it was heading west? That
yeah, it went west. It was very slowly going west because of the heat. But it was definitely going west. Now, we did get that big storm. No, it went east. The wind was out of the west.
Now, they're opposite directions, you know.
Right, but you said it went west, but I was talking about
was
the wind.
It was a westerly wind that was blowing.
Yes. But I don't know how far it could have gotten because we got that tremendous storm that broke up the heat dome within the hour.
So it could have got someplace where, you know, like Caledonia, someplace where they don't read or something.
You said it, not me. You said it.
Oh.
Oh, man. Oh. I'm telling you, those Caledonians don't take very kindly to that.
I was actually writing a song for Chad Clark about living in Caledonia. But next time he's in, I'll have to give him the lyrics or something.
And what does it pertain to?
Oh, just, living in Caledonia in... trailer park. I'd have to get the lyrics out. It's too early in the morning.
Here. Living in a trailer park. Drinking out of the Olentangy, huh?
Olentangy.
I don't know. They're very... You know, I think they don't understand that it's a joke. You know, it's more of a parody to make fun of a small place like that. It's like the whole Les Rue, La Rue thing. Nobody really cares. Yeah. Call it what you want. But we had some fun with it.
Yeah, that's like... the old Cliff Arquette there, Charlie Weaver would.
I've said thing about Prospect, about, you know, you drive, nobody's ever on the way to Prospect. Why would you ever go to Prospect? It's never on the way to anything. You know, I think people take these things to heart.
Well, you know, it's like, the old saying that there's no bad news. You know, if you mention the town's name, people are going to go see it, you know, whether they believe it or not. You know, the first time I came to Marion was to see the big rolling balls out there at the cemetery, and you know what? They weren't rolling.
No, they don't roll. They don't roll. That's a whole misnomer. But is Eber Baker buried there? We don't know.
Dean
We just don't know.
He might be the one rolling the ball. I don't know.
You know, it. Whatever. It's what it is. You know something? I have not brought this up yet, but I'm interested to get your opinion on this. You like history and so on and so forth.
I've been there.
Yep. The Marion Star did an article, always first with news, Marion Star. It was an article on apparently this thing that I've talked about before, the WMRN archive that is being created by the grandchild of somebody who used to work there, who is no longer with us. And, you know, God bless this person. They seem to be very fervent in their quest to find information. But as I said at the time, they have asked me to participate in this. I'm not doing it, just not to do it. The problem is everybody who meant something to that station, more or less, is dead. And you can't go to their families and say, what did they think about this? You don't really know. You don't really know for sure. And also, the problem is, this person seems to be putting their family member out in front, as you would.
Yeah.
As you would. And the facts don't seem to be straight. I mean, I looked at this article in the paper about this archive. They never mention the founder of the station, who without the founder, there would not have been a station.
True.
They never mentioned Madge, who was the first woman on the air, who was there back in 1941. Mm-hmm. You know, but they did mention people who I don't think had nearly the significance of those two, at least. And they don't seem to have, I don't know. I understand having a fond relationship to your grandfather, but have they talked to anybody who worked there?
Well, and, you know, I think that's where they need your input. You know, if they really want to do an honest job of it, then you do want to get input from everybody, you know, even if they might have opposing points of view on some of the things that's bringing up, because otherwise it's not going to be a balanced archive. It's going to be tilted all in favor of this one individual and his family.
But you know what's interesting? I did actually look at it since this time, and there are audio shows up there of anniversary shows that I hosted.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's fine. I mean, I appreciate you sharing those shows, but most everybody in those shows is dead, except me, and I wasn't even aware that those were put up there.
Well, the trouble with doing any historical project is that most of the people you're writing about and talking about are dead, you know, and you can't ask them their opinion, and so you have to rely on, you know, secondhand sources. You know, maybe they kept a diary or a journal or some notes or something like that that you could bring into it. You know, but you need to contact those people.
And they keep saying Rod Serling from the Twilight Zone worked there. He did not work there.
Intern.
He was an intern. And
it's a fine line.
It's a fine line, but it's not like he applied for a job there. You know, that's not what was going on. And also, I think it's important, because I said this long before this archive. The newspaper, where we normally go to try to get all of our facts on events that preceded us, did not cover the radio station very often because they considered it competition. So the source that people normally go to, they can't go to because it really didn't cover those events at the radio station. So it would always have been hard to put together an archive like that.
Well, that's very true. I mean, that's where you need the help of the people who, you know, were involved, or the family of the people who were involved, because, you know, they might have notes and pictures and stories.
Okay. Well, they have their stories. See, but the problem
but
is if you did
stories.
Right. But if you didn't work there, you only get the story as it was told to you by the family member,
right.
Not always exactly what happened.
Now, I know in the past some of the older radio stations, maybe the bigger ones, would have, you know, make lacquers, you know, records of some of their programs and something like that. You know, I mean, is there anything like that from MRN? You don't know.
Some of the programs.
Some of the programs.
There are some things like that, but you would have to know who had them.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
You'd have to go hunting for them.
Right. Well, and that's getting to be a sparse group now, considering the station started almost 86 years ago.
Yeah.
86, I don't...
You know how to say 86 on the air?
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I just don't know. I mean, I think it's very nice. You know, I think had this archive been pictures and just audio, that would be nice. But trying to tell the story, that's very difficult.
It is. And that's what I think makes any good historical writer good, is that you get into the story, you live the story, and you tell the story, you know, you bring it to life. You don't just, you know, try to illustrate it here and there with, you know, whatever you might have. You need to bring the story to life.
Well, and does anybody really care about, I mean, honestly, I'm not saying they probably remember the personalities very fondly. They probably remember certain things. But do they really care how it came to be? Do they really care?
Well, that's the mark of a good historian, is that they tell the story in such a way that they make you care. You learn to care.
Because now they're talking about a documentary. And I'm thinking, everybody is dead. Who are you going to have in this documentary? The secretaries and the family members of people?
Well, you talk to somebody like Ken Burns, you know, who makes these great historical documentaries.
But but how do they do that? They have historians who are well versed in that era. There are no historians well versed in this era.
Well, you need to become one then. You need to dig into the story.
Listen, I could tell you the real stories that went on around there. I could tell you, but you wouldn't want to put that on your little archive, because I could tell you some of the real stories about people getting banned from things and screaming arguments and why one person saying this person was fired, one person saying they quit. You know, I could tell you some stuff.
So you could be the counterpoint documentary.
Oh, I'll tell you, there were words spoken at one point that you will take this out of here over my dead body. Now, if you want to put that in your archive, go right ahead.
Well, there you go. You'll need to add the spice to the documentary, otherwise it's going to be bland.
Well, the connection that I have is because, again, I said I came in at exactly the right time. I interviewed all those people.
Mm-hmm.
Madge Cooper, Joe Ione, Charlie, Marianne Michaels, that whole group was Terry Cole. That whole group was still around, and I worked with them all. So I got to hear those stories firsthand. It's not just me remembering, you know, I worked with them. I asked them the questions.
So you are the missing piece to hold us all together. You are the glue of...
Well, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. But I think it's interesting.
Well,
yeah. I don't know. God bless them. Like I said, I think compiling all the audio is good. I think compiling the pictures is not a bad thing. But I don't... This just has... possible, not due to the person who's doing it, but misinformation written all over it, because you're getting information from people's families, and of course they're going to be preferential to their family member.
Well, now, you've always talked about putting your own book together, you know.
Oh, that's true.
You know, maybe that needs to be the point of the book, the correct history, rewrite history, you know, bring it.
But people don't really want the real history.
No, they don't.
No, they don't. They don't want to really know that somebody was banned from something. They don't really want to know that somebody was fired. They really don't want to know that there were arguments between people that they love. They don't want to know that there was beef between people who they liked. They don't want to hear about that.
Well, no, you know, the crisis that happened, you know, 35, 40 years ago, you know, and was resolved is yesterday's news. And nobody wants yesterday's news. You have to make people want to care, you know, for that.
Yeah, but if you're doing a book or a documentary like that, you've got to have some kind of beef like that in it, or people don't want to read it. They've got to learn something They, oh, and by the way, I believe I am the only person who ever interviewed at that time the last surviving member of the Bob Mason family, his daughter, Virginia. So I have, out of her own words, what was happening with her father and her brother, who were heavily involved in the station at the time.
So you're saying that you are the linchpin that needs to be talked to.
No, I know.
You need to put your own book out there.
No, I'm just saying
Scott Spears and the right stuff.
These were the people who would actually know something. Yeah. I always protest that people leave Bob Mason out of the story because he died in 1966. Well, had there not been a Bob Mason, there would not have been a WMRN. So you can talk about Charlie, and you can talk about Madge, and you can talk about Joe Ione. You would have not known these people had it not been for Bob Mason.
Well, there again, and who cares?
That's it. That's it. He died too young, so yep. Forget him.
Well, you know, I think we just need to keep pushing it. You need to get your own book out there. You need to, you know, get it on the bookshelves there, let it gather the dust that it deserves, and
get it on the bookshelves where it gets the dust it deserves. Holy moly. What a shot.
Sorry about that, but
that's too bad.
That's
my story on the archive. But okay. You know what? If people contribute and people find things, God bless them. I think it's all the pictures and the audio are being put in one place. I think that's nice.
Well, let me tell you this. You didn't never mention his name, and probably for good reason, but that's all right.
The person
putting a documentary together.
Well, because I think he's doing a good thing.
Yeah, but I'll tell you one thing. He won't get rich from it.
No, I don't think he's going to get rich from it. But he's doing a nice thing for his grandfather, and I did know his grandfather, and I think his grandfather would appreciate it.
Do you know what?
His
grandfather's dead.
He is. He's gone.
Yeah, no one's going to benefit from all this.
So what do you think it is? Why do you think this is a project for him?
Well, I mean, he might not have anything else to do. You know, it might be, like you said, a work of love, you know, for the family and everything. It'll end up there in the Marion Historical Society of Marion history. And 200 years from now, you know, when they look at all this, must be the true story of WMRN. And his story will go down, you know, as the story. And people, Scott Spears, never heard of him.
As they do with all of us. You know, it's interesting, the younger generation, the things that they have no recollection of.
You know, maybe we should make
zero.
A WMRN pizza and have it signed by Bob Mason, you know, and take that to him.
He's dead. I don't know if you've heard. He's been dead for about, you know, how many years now? Have you died in the 60s? Holy mackerel.
We'll date it like 19...
He's been dead 60 years.
It'll be the pizza forgery that'll fool, you know, everybody 200 years from now. Oh, my God, here's this pizza.
Yeah, the poor Bob Mason pizza. God almighty. The poor man gets no... He put all his money into it, basically put his whole family's finances at the time on the line for it, and people just leave him right out of the history. Hired all these people, and they just leave him right out. Forget him.
Well, that's usually the way it is. You know, if you believe in something, you put everything you have into it, and you make it grow.
You do, but God, you don't forget the guy who every story, every good story, history story, starts with the person who started it.
Well, maybe he was the M and WMRN, Mason.
No, and that's
Mason runs news.
I will tell you, I heard from so many different people what WMRN stood for. That's another one of those things that isn't exactly flushed out.
Speaking of which, are we allowed to talk about this on the air? Don't WMRN get a little...
There's nobody over there anymore. There's nobody in that building anymore. What difference does it make at this point? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, not to change the subject much, but
go
just
ahead. But do it anyway.
Please.
Yeah, do it anyway. Have you seen where Trump's back on the Greenland kick again?
The Greenland kick?
Yeah. Talking about wanting to take Greenland.
No, I hadn't seen that.
Yeah, look for that in the news that he's... back on that again.
I think he's actually going to move into Cuba next. I think that's why he's...
Marco Rubio would like him to do that.
I think that's why he's choking him off with the oil and everything. You know, rolling blackouts and people living in dire consequences, you know. I think Cuba's next.
Yeah, he wants to be a leader that had an empire.
There you go. I believe that.
After all the bombs and stuff we wasted on Iran, why didn't he take Greenland before he wasted it, his time on Iran? That's stupid.
What can you do?
Yep.
Well, but you sleep better now at night knowing that you're not going to get a bomb dropped on you.
Too bad we don't have some of those planes they had in 1776 to help out.
Yeah.
I heard they was really good planes. They were stealth. You could be right beside it and you couldn't see it.
Well, they have those at the archives there in Arizona, where everything, you know, can be.
I think they're in. I think the WMRN archive houses those planes. Mm-hmm. I think Bob Mason used to cover stories like that with those stealth airplanes.
Is that what happened to the WGH helicopter that you donated it to the armed forces?
Oh no, it's still up on the roof.
Oh, all right.
It's still up on the roof.
You still have your helicopter?
Of course we do.
Maybe we should go up there. Maybe wake up the pilot there.
You know what? If the Shopper Chopper's still around, the WGH helicopter's still around.
Well, you need to go up in there and do a show.
Well, maybe one day we will. Why not? We love doing the remotes. We'll wait till the next heat dome and go out there.
No, I think I would wait until the pilot is back in good health.
Well, Scott could even pilot it himself.
I didn't know that.
You know, that's
well, they gave me a temporary license.
Yeah, it expired.
It was temporary.
Oh, all right.
You can get a fake license.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'll run you one up.
Yeah, they're not going to check you while you're up there in the air. They don't pull you over
up
there.
That's right. Nobody pulls over a helicopter pilot.
You never know. You never know what could happen.
This is not the Jetsons, you know.
Okay.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Well, Matt's saying Mason Radio Network.
There you go. I believe it.
Well, that might have been what he thought. I don't know.
Well, you don't think Matt would make that up, do you?
You know, I have to go with... a lot of people gave me different answers, and somebody said what Marion really needs. Somebody said Marion Radio News. Somebody said Marion without the vowels. I have to go with what the daughter said, because she was the one who was truly around at the time. And I'm going to have to go with what she said as far as...
And what was that?
I believe she said Marion without the vowels, which seems very simple. Yeah. But I... Okay. People wanted to change it, I guess.
I'll have to think about this a while. But, you know, but any good call stations, you people like to... make up their own, you know, letters for it and everything.
I think it changed over time. I think as the station was growing in popularity, people said what Marion really needs might have been used in an ad.
Yeah, I think advertising probably drove a lot of it.
And I think in the 80s, when it turned into a talk station, Marion Radio News seemed obvious, you know.
And it's certainly much more attractive advertising than Mason runs the news or something.
Or Marion without the vowels, you know. Oh, that doesn't sound very appealing to advertisers. So there we are. So, Bob, you're going to hang this on the wall for us here today.
I brought a hammer, and I got actually here the little doodads. What do you call those? Paper wall hangers?
I think... Look at that. Well, it's going to be... Now, this wall, there's electrical current that runs through this wall.
These aren't nails aren't that long.
Oh, you got to be careful. Okay. Well, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back with much more right after this short but important...
Unless I knock the wire out.
Time out. Then we'll be off the air.
Legendary actress Pat Carroll...
And I think villains are the most fascinating people as an actress to play.